Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. We've got a great training session lined up. Without a whole lot of introduction, I'm going to turn it over to Vic Schemo, who's our vice chair of the advisory council. And this was actually one of Vic's suggestions, and we've gotten tremendous response as a topic. So, Vic, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thanks, Jana. Before I begin to talk about the best practices of Meet the Zor event, I want to thank Cindy Rayfield, Ken Stein, Harriet Mosier, and Jerry Bird. Those four people really helped put all this information together. And what we want to do is I thought it would be important to kind of put this information together in the sense of beginning to end. How do I do this event? And I put all this information in topics. And if you're going to take notes, it'll be pretty easy to do from that standpoint. So how many Meet the Zor events should I do during the year? We seem to think that you should do at least two and maybe three or four. It depends on your market. Since outplacement is starting to dwindle, if you will, we seem to think that Meet the Zor events are going to become much more important. Where should I do these venues, or where should I have the venue? Make sure it's in a easy access. It's well known in your community, like maybe a Marriott hotel and next to a freeway or easy to get to. What are the best times? The best times that we seem to think is in the afternoon. But then again, it depends on traffic. I know in Southern California, we hold these events in the evening, and we have found that the attendance is smaller or lower. So 2 to 4 in the afternoon seems to be good, or 2 to 5, somewhere in there. How many Zors should I invite? Well, 6 to 8. You want to make sure that you include Benetrans or Franfun. How many partnerships should I work with? Going back to Zors, make sure that you've got a good sampling, service businesses, retail, coaching, light manufacturing, those kind of samples. When you do a Meet the Zor, you definitely need to work with co-partnerships, SBA, SCORE, SBDC, financial advisors, regional bankers, and also any previous clients. Jerry Bird put together a booklet, if you will. You notice when we go to a FranNet meeting, Jana and her team put together an agenda booklet. Well, that's what Jerry did, and it looks professional. It has the logo of these co-partnerships. So it's important to use those folks, because what happens is you can have them tap their database to get butts in the seats, if you will. So it's important, use those folks, get their logos, and put them on your flyers or any agenda booklets if you want to put those together. Parking is a big issue, especially in Southern California. Try to get it free if you can. We found that people won't go, and the last-minute decision is, I got to pay for parking. So see if you can get that free. What do I charge the Zors? $500 per market, per territory. The co-partnerships should be invited, free. Give them a table. You want to do anything you can to get those folks to go, because you want to tap that database. The room setup. Now, Harriet in Phoenix really likes the speed dating approach. I think it works. Another example would be a classroom style for your clients, and then have the tables in the back for each Zor, so they can lay out their material and talk with people one-on-one at the end. Your PowerPoint presentations. Make sure that your presentation is no longer than 15, 16, 17 minutes. Just go over the basics of franchising. And then the Zor presentations should be no longer than 10 minutes. And one of the things we have found over the years is sometimes the Zors get too entrenched with things like training and marketing, and they lose the clients. Get the Zors to put the wow factor in their presentation. They need a hook. They need a hanger, as Howie would say. Food. Simple, easy. You don't need to spend a lot of money. Coffee, water, cookies. That's it, especially if you do it in the afternoon. Advertising. This is probably the biggest part of this topic today. And really your goal, as you all know, is to, you know, how do I get people to attend, and the attrition rate is important too. If you're going to do this, you got to start 2 months in advance, especially if you're going to hire a local PR firm. We've started doing that, Blair and I and the folks that I mentioned earlier, and it really seems to work. But those folks need at least 2 months in advance to do this right. 1 month out, you're going to use social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, outplacement centers, SBDC, SBA, SCORE, any financial planners, attorneys. I think the last two are going to become really important in this next year, especially since outplacement is starting to slow down a little. Cindy in Denver, her and Stacy did some press releases, which is critical, and they got picked up by, I believe, a local TV station. Radio will pick you up too, so a lot of press releases. And then again, all the networking groups that you belong to. You've got to get people to help you put that on there. So tap all your databases. Start promoting speaking engagements at least 2 months in advance. And then you'll start to see, and use Eventbrite. I almost forgot to mention that. If you need help with Eventbrite, there's people like Tracy Evans that can help you do that. Now, let's assume you've got a bunch of people signed up ready to go. Your venue's done. The Zors are all lined up. You've got payment from the Zors. So it's the 2 days before your event. That is when you should start making phone calls to all the people that you've got signed up. And you'll have all that information from Eventbrite. Make sure the qualifiers for your clients to sign up is to have their phone number and email so you can follow up with them. Start making confirmation calls at least 2 days, 1 day before the event. It seems as though we, you know, we'll get 60, 70, 80 people signed up, but our attrition rate is only about 50%. That seems to be normal. Personally, I think we can do a better job with that. And I think making those phone calls and telling people, you know, getting them to go is important. Flyers that you would typically send to SBDC and SBA and SCORE and military, we're finding that the term meet the franchisor event is somewhat confusing. I know a lot of you believe it works and keep using it. I'm not saying not to, but one of the things I started to use was job creators, job creation, know your options. Those are good topics to use for people like SBDC, SBA, and SCORE, military, because they're looking for more of an educational workshop. So think about doing that. Other key information, do some raffles. Have the client sign off on a sheet that says that they visited every Zor in the room. The Zor signs off. They give you the sheet, and you give them in turn a raffle ticket. It's kind of a fun way to get people excited and to stay there. Give away some books, the E-Myth Street Smart Franchising. Give away some credit card gift cards, like maybe to dinner or something like that, Starbucks. And ask the Zors to help contribute, free haircuts or stuff like that. Also, other key information. Your event's going to typically take about 2 hours. Don't do any breaks. What seems to happen is when you take a break, people will leave the room for whatever reason. Keep it exciting. Keep it going. Make sure that you hand out evaluation sheets after the last Zor is done. So you want to capture all the clients or potential clients' information. You could put that in your database. Then there's follow-up. Let's assume your event is over. You've got your evaluation sheets. You know who wants to engage, who doesn't. Make sure you connect with every one of those folks with a phone call. Email, you're gonna get less response from email. So get on the phone and call those folks up. And then each Zor is going to want an attendee list. You can capture that off of Eventbrite and send that to the Zors because they will follow up with each person, even the ones that don't show. So that's about it. It's very quick. Any questions?
Hey, this is Kathy Petcash. I have a couple.
Okay.
You said in the afternoon is the best time that you found. What about a Saturday?
Good question. I've never done one on Saturday. I would test it. Unless someone in the group on the phone here has done one on Saturday.
Is Mike Hall on or not?
Yeah, I'm here.
Mike, you're there, right?
No, I'm not here.
Oh, not here.
Not here.
Mike had several on a Saturday that I attended and had some great turnout. But I think, again, it just goes back to the planning and everything else, which is what made it work more than maybe the Saturday. But he might be a great person to ask that question because he has done them on a Saturday and I have not. But
well, all we did on a Saturday were the expos, which were bigger than the Meet the Zor seminars. In thinking about it, it seems to me the weekdays, if you had to ask me, I think weekdays might be better.
Okay.
I think, first of all, Saturday would have to be Saturday morning. And it's just, if you want to get 40 or 50 people at an event, at least in speaking for Charlotte, they seem to have a lot of things to do on Saturday with kids and shopping and all kinds of stuff seem to get in the way. Our experience has always been at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock to 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon is probably the best time. So I think that's what I did all this year, and I think all next year I'll do the same thing. I do have small seminars in my office on Saturday morning. And that works to get 3 or 4 or 5 people in there to talk about franchises. I would tend to be reluctant to do it for a Meet the Zor event. Some of you may have a different idea.
Hi, it's Leslie. I've done them on Saturdays before and called them Executive Franchise Saturday. And as long as it does not conflict with SEC football, it goes well.
Okay. Can I ask a couple other questions? When you are advertising your event, do you state that registration is required, or do you just ask them to?
Oh, it's required.
Okay.
I always say it's required, always.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Required, and you want to make sure that, again, you want to set this up with Eventbrite, make it easy for the people to sign up. And, again, if you need help with that, Tracy Evans is the person that can help you.
Okay.
Vic, this is Barney.
How
much do you guys pay for a PR person?
It'll range about $1,000. So, you know, do the math. You've got 6 to 8 Zors. They're going to pay you $500. There's your budget. You should spend no more than $500 to $750 on a hotel. They're going to charge you a room rent and gratuity on top of that and tax. And the rest of it's advertising. You know, years ago, we used to put what we call inserts in the local newspaper, and they worked really well. But as you all know, the newspaper business has been, you know, is tanked, and that's not where people are going. It's social media. So there's Chris Wiggum you can use as someone that can help you. There's Tracy, a local PR person. You can use our PR group, so there's people you've got there to help you.
Yeah, Brand hey, Journalist does that stuff too.
Yeah.
What advertising media do you use? Just social media, or are there other things?
Well, just recently Blair and I used social media, and it really helped. It's where people are going. Now, the other piece to this is the PR piece. If you can get the word out from a PR standpoint, you may be picked up by a TV station like Cindy did in Denver. And I'll tell you, that really helps.
Hey, Vic, when
this
you...
is Heather. Oh, go ahead.
Thanks, Heather. When you say, I mean, can you be a bit more specific about, I mean, what are you doing with social media? What are you doing? How frequently? In what mediums? I mean, what's kind of the step-by-step of how to do social media for something like this?
Well, what I did was, first of all, you put your information together. You've got your flyer. I sent that. And Tracy helped me put that together. And then I sent it to Chris Wiggum. And Chris hit tons and tons of people on social media. You've got Facebook. You've got LinkedIn. And on LinkedIn, you've got all these groups, hopefully, that you're in on. And he hit those 2 to 3 weeks before. And he hit them like every other day. And don't forget, you got your own database. If you're using ACT, you want to hit that database about 3 to 4 times before the event, starting around 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks before. Now, here's what I found also. Let's say your event's in November. You don't want to tap your database in October, because the more you tap that database, the more opts out you're going to get. And this last time that we did Meet the Zora in November, I didn't even hit my database in September or October, and I had very few people opt out, whereas in years past, you know, I lost a lot of people because they just get tired of it. Hey, Vic, one of the things we're finding out is that, especially on LinkedIn, is that, you know, I post to 50-something-odd groups And it was a lot easier to post at the first of the year than it was at the last of the year. These groups are getting pretty smart, and what they do now is they have a promotions page. And if you have an event or anything that even looks like an event, or if you make a comment that says, have you thought about changing from corporate to whatever ownership, take a look at this particular website, and we always do a pre-registration website with ours, they will automatically move that over the promotions page, which doesn't get as much attention as the first pages do. So it's kind of interesting. On our last Meet the Zora seminar, we got fewer people from social media than we did 3 or 4 months earlier, and we attribute some of it to that. One of my questions is for you guys that are doing this and you keep the metrics on it, where are you finding that your attendees are coming from? Because for us, it's direct email, and when we did the last one, which was September or October, I guess, it was still newspaper. And I'd love to get away from the newspaper because it's expensive, and social media actually dipped a little bit. It was kind of interesting.
What newspaper, Mike?
Where their clients from?
Mike, what newspaper?
Well, the big ones here, Charlotte, Raleigh.
Like the business paper or just the general newspaper?
No, the general newspaper. And sometimes we'll go into the Biz Journal, but the general newspaper is seen by theoretically 1 million people, whereas the Biz Journal has got a very, very small circulation. Now, on the Business Journal, we do everything online. So we do their online events page, and that seems to get us maybe one or two. I would love to come to a point where we could rely on Eventbrite, all social media, and not have to use anything else. I don't think we're there yet.
Well, one of the things you want to make sure you put in Eventbrite also as a qualifier is, how did you hear about this event?
Absolutely, yeah.
You've got to put that in there. From my standpoint, over 50% of the people that signed up were from social media.
That's great.
Can you break it down, Vic? Was it Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter? I mean, do you know? I mean, social media is a lot of different things.
Most of that, I don't have the exact percentage, Leslie, but most of the people were from LinkedIn.
Yeah.
The groups. But, you know, it's funny, even though outplacement has slowed down, I had a good percentage of those folks, too, show up. And SBA, believe it or not.
We had a bunch from SCORE come to our last one in September using the SCORE database.
Vic, the people you're getting from, say, the LinkedIn groups, are those new leads or are those contacts that you've already made and LinkedIn connections and so forth?
The majority of those folks, Mark, is coming, they're new.
Okay, so they're generating new leads for you.
Yeah.
Great.
And I don't know how many of you folks attend networking groups, but that really helped us too. Is you can, you know, you're promoting that event in a 10-second commercial to those groups. Obviously, you want to get permission from the networking director or the person that's holding that group, you know, to, mm-hmm. to mention it. But that seemed to help too.
Vic, is there a particular way that you're posting the information about the event on the LinkedIn groups? I mean, one of the things that, you know, I always try to post in there and not look just like I'm there, you know, selling something. Do you have kind of any best practices as far as the way you would promote that without just it being, hey, come to this event? Any kind of teasers that really work well?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And what I did was I kind of left that up to Chris Wiggum. You know, and he did a great job with that. He did those teasers. So.
And who is Chris again, please, Vic?
Chris is, how did I meet Chris? Chris was referred to me by someone in Friend, and I don't remember. He does all the social media stuff for me.
Hey, Vic, it's Cindy at headquarters. Hey, everybody. Chris is like a freelance social media expert. So he's available, I guess, on a monthly retainer.
Yeah, this is Tom Simmons. I hooked up with Chris in the beginning. So he's here in Louisville.
So he can manage your post. He knows the ins and outs and inner workings of what to post on Twitter, where, how, the intricacies of every social media platform is a little different. So Chris is good. I've got some tips and tricks that I'll share with the group. And then I've also got a way that we just talked about with the new associates that came on that I'll share with the group, just ways to sort of get your events out there that's outside the box. Like, let's say you have a talk business radio show in your community that's really well followed and really well received, you know, an FM station with, like, you know, that's all talk, all business or something. See if they have a community calendar. Tom Crimmins here in Louisville partnered up on a talk station, and they actually helped him promote his event. And I'm not sure about every metric that he used to get the station to co-sponsor with him. But he got, you know, I think it was well received. And, I mean, you could log on to the radio station's homepage, and there it was. But
all right, Cindy, let it go back just a second. Those of you that are interested in Chris Wiggum, you can send Cindy or Tom Crimmins an email, and we'll make sure you get his contact information.
If he does, Tom. You're right.
Okay,
Janet.
Vic, back to you.
Okay, so as you can all notice, I'm not a marketeer, and nor did I want to spend a lot of time, because it is time-consuming. I wanted to be focused on running the business, and that is why I deferred all this stuff to people that are experts in it. Yes, I had to pay everybody, you know, nothing's free, but I took, you know, the monies from the Zor contribution to help pay for all this stuff, and it worked. Any other questions?
Vic, I have a question on Eventbrite. I'm not real familiar with it. Does that help generate leads, or is that just for registration?
It's for registration. Again, Mark, I recommend you talk with Tracy Evans.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Tracy can set that up for you in a very short period of time. And you don't have to worry about it. You go do your seminars, you go run your business, and you'll start to see people signing up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hey, Vic?
Yeah.
Could we go back to the speed dating approach for a second? I'd like to know if anybody other than Harriet has used that. I'm intrigued with it. And, in fact, the next thing we've got coming up, I've invited the Zors and have told them that's what we're going to do. So I'm kind of going out on a limb there, but I do believe that it seems to get people in front of franchisors almost, you know, I want to say force, and that's not the right sort of word, but they're going to walk away, it seems like, with more information than if at the end you kind of give them their lead and say, well, you know, please feel free to talk to our franchisors. I'm just wondering if anybody else has experimented with that, because I'm going to try it once and see what it's like. I think it's kind of unique and different, and I just wonder if anybody else has had experience with it. I think Harriet likes it.
Hey, Harriet, Mike, it's Leslie. I heard some negative feedback from one franchisor that they really didn't like that format.
Really? Okay.
So
yeah.
The franchisor didn't like it. I mean, you know, I think it would probably I think we have to think about that, though. You know, they're paying to come that I think it was Ken Kent who really, you know, doesn't want to do that again.
That's interesting, because I've gotten, Leslie, and I wondered about that. I've gotten actually positive feedback from a couple of guys who say we really do get more interested people. Because you know, somebody who maybe was going to leave the event a little early, you know, and missed out on going to Woodring, you know. But if, when mm-hmm. they stand at the table, they go, wow, that's really interesting. The franchisors have to talk more, I think, and I think it's a little harder on them. But so I guess we're getting comments both ways. I still think I'm going to try it and see what it's like.
I think it would be worth, you know, talking to the franchisors that, I guess, if, you know, whoever, but Harriet and whoever else,
yeah.
just what, if they found it to be more effective, did they get more leads, did they close more deals with that right. format?
This is Barney. We did that, Dick, myself, and Tracy did that at a university one that we did in April. I got a couple clients still hanging on from it, but I got good response from the franchisors about it because they said okay. they had a good, you know, time with the people. They had, you know, it was a little closer, a more upfront type of feel that they felt about it. I did have a question, though, that I wanted to ask about the 6-8 stores. How about some of the Zores that are have multiple brands that was a problem we had. I had one Zore that they paid for one deal, but they brought three brands with them, and it was tough. You know, I talked to them about it a little bit, but they were trying to show all three brands.
Well, let me address that. For example, Meineke. We had Meineke. Meineke loves to do these things in Southern California, and I sat with the Steve Belko, who does all the development, and I said, Steve, focus on one brand in your presentation, and at the end, just mention that you have these other brands. Mm-hmm. That seems to work well.
Okay, thanks.
If they go all over the place and show the three brands, you're right, Barney, it's a mess. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work well.
It was a mess. This is the first time I did it, and I didn't realize I had to control the, you know, it's hard enough hurting the cats of all the people coming through the door, then to herd the franchisors too is not what I wanted to do.
Well, you should be having the Zores send you their PowerPoint presentation at least 1 week in advance, and you need to go through each one of those presentations.
Well, they didn't give us the PowerPoint. They didn't do PowerPoints. We just set up tables for each person to sit around and talk with them.
Okay.
Well,
you got to control it.
Yeah, that's what I'm learning just from this. Is a great call because there's a couple of things that I'm going to change because we're doing one in April.
You know, this is Allison, and being new to the group, I'd like to take a step back. Can you explain to me what a person sees when they come into this event?
Okay. Let's assume it's in a hotel. You're going to have a registration table outside the room. They walk in the room. And let's assume that they're walking in the door in the back side of the room. So they're going to see several tables with the franchisor's logos and material on top of the table. And then they'll see a classroom-style seating, a projector, and you know, your PowerPoint presentation should be ready to go there. What I do is I do the registration myself. I want to know who's there. I want to say hello. I want to, you know, get a little bond and rapport there. And I tell people to go grab a cup of coffee, make yourself at home, and you know, get comfortable. Is that help?
Yeah, it does. So the person walks in and expecting to sit down and see presentations, and then once the presentations are finished, they have the option to go to the tables that they want to go to.
What happens also is in the beginning, the people really have nothing to do for a few minutes. So they'll go visit with the franchisors.
Okay.
I have a question about follow-up. You know, When I just did a kind of mini version of this in November, and you know there was an evaluation form where people could request information from any of the presenters, including the franchisors. And so there were some people who requested information from me and from some of the franchisors. Some of them just requested information from the franchisors. And some of them just requested information from me. If they've requested information from the franchisors, and of course I'm letting the franchisors know that. What is the best way? I mean, you know, ultimately, I feel like I want to kind of control the process. I don't want to just kind of say, you know, here's your lead, go to it, because you know I do think that we can kind of help get these deals done. What is the kind of the best way to get involved when they, you know, maybe haven't asked for you necessarily, or if they have asked for you, you still kind of want to let them run with the ones that they've said they're interested in, but maybe if it's only one or two of them, you know, maybe you have some other ideas for them as well. What's kind of your most successful way of getting the deals done at that point?
What I've done is I let them go with the Zor. If they want to engage with the Zor without my help, I'm not going to fight that. But, again, you've got to work with the Zor very closely, the frickin' frat issue. At some point, the Zor is going to tell that client or that candidate, we would really like you to fill out the FranNet profile. And circle back.
That's something I think that can be just that's a discussion to have with the franchisors up front, is to kind of train them to you know, really strongly encourage that the people circle back to us to go through the assessment process and what the value of that is. But still, at the end of the day, I'm not going to delay a prospect talking to a franchisor if they're interested.
Right. No, I didn't know about the piece. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. If they've said they wanted to talk to the franchise, to Zor, you know, sure, go ahead. But then, you know, what I did, just not knowing any better, was say, okay, you know, here you go, and the franchisor has them fill out their own form. I mean, they know that it's a FranNet lead. They register it as such, but you know, ultimately, they're just kind of having them go through their process. But you guys are letting them, you're telling the Zors, have them fill out the FranNet assessment anyway.
Encourage it, but I'm not going to absolutely insist on it. I mean, if the franchisor is comfortable and the prospect is comfortable with them just, you know, going at it, I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah, don't fight it. I've done lots of deals where that happened, and my amount of work was minimal. But remember this, when the event's over and you start your follow-up, either by phone message, phone calls, email, or whatever, you want to give those clients more options in a sense that you'll say, you know, we want to thank you for attending the event. We have lots of other franchisors we represent. So, you know, you're going to leave that door open there.
But if they've said that they want to talk to you and two franchisors, you just kind of get out of the way and see what happens with the two, or?
Well, you get out of the way for a very short period of time. You're
okay.
Going to circle back to that client within a week and do some follow-up. Did you engage with the franchisor? How was your conversation? You know, what's the next steps?
Yeah, we got to strike when the iron's hot.
And don't forget to register with Benetrends or FranFund too. I've done two people. I've gotten checks from two of those, but they didn't buy our franchise.
Yeah, I'll tell you another strategy that's worked real well when I've done this in the past is you have the franchisors bring, we call it their magic selling map, which is. Obviously, we would only invite franchisors who have ample attractive territory in our markets. But if they bring a map that shows the market and shows kind of how they've divided it up, it creates a sense of urgency in the prospect's mind of, you know, if they live in a certain part of town and they see four other people who live in that certain part of town and they're, you know, interested in that franchise, it creates a sense of urgency to work with us and to work with the franchisors. That's worked real well for us.
That's a great point. Any other questions?
I did have one more question. Hi, everyone. This is Carla Spence. I'm actually calling in for Steve Book. I work with him administratively. I do have a question around the evaluation. Is that something that we would put together an evaluation, or is that something that the PR firm helps us to do? How does that work?
That is done by us. Send me your email. Send me an email, and I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Now,
great.
They're actually this is Janice. Steve would have that in his training manual that he received a thumb drive under the tab for Meet the Zora Events and Marketing. There's a whole series of different templates. If you have trouble finding it, let Vic or myself know.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
And, Jana, is all the stuff we're talking about today already in that Meet the Zora manual on Franet.net?
The majority of it is. The new manual is not up on Franet.net right now because we're making so many changes. It seems like every training class we do. But the Meet the Zora manual, I believe, is up on there, but the entire new training manual is not. So it's pretty complete.
There's a 50-page Meet the Zora manual on
Franet.net. That's the one. That's the one.
And all of the stuff we're talking about right now is in it?
I believe so, Leslie. I haven't looked at it in the last couple of months, but it was done the last time we did an update call and gathered best practices.
Okay, great.
Any other questions?
Thank you for putting it all together. Hey, Vic, is all your the templates and stuff that you are using, is that all available, you know, somewhere on in the manual in the Meet the Zora manual or somewhere?
What do you mean? What templates are you talking about?
Just your press releases and, you know, anything that were, you know, documentation of what you put up on LinkedIn. I mean, any of that stuff, is it available somewhere?
You know what? I have to honestly say I don't think so because I didn't follow up with that. I left it up to the Chris Wiggums and the Tracys and the PR people. That is a great question, though. We probably need to do that.
Could you scrounge that up? That'd be great. Really good to see.
Yeah, I will follow up with that.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Vic, if you can get it to me, then we'll get it out to the entire group.
Okay. That's a great point.
All right. Thank you all for joining us today. I hope you found this helpful. We've got a series of other training sessions set up over the next few months. Hope you can join us in the future. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thanks, Jana.
Thank you.